Good morning. Hey, it's good to see you today. Really good to see you. Glad you could be out here for our first mobile Sunday. You know, I realized that the last time I spoke, last time I preached from this platform was 21 years ago. It was 1997. Can you believe that? And some of us didn't even exist back then, huh? Some of you were in diapers back then. Some of us had more hair back then, right? Yeah. Well, I just think that I'm just so grateful for the many people that helped set up. I know there's going to be hiccups and things like that, and thank you for your patience on that, but I'm just so grateful for the hard workers that led by Ken and by Chris that did such a great job setting this place up. There's so much that goes into it, and I think they definitely deserve a round of applause and a thank you from us, huh? Great, great. Well, I'll tell you, it's getting so exciting to see the building. Hey, you know something? There's something out in my car that I need. I wonder if you could grab that for me. Do you have the keys? Here you go. It's old milk carton. Okay. Yeah, it's a milk carton. Yeah, I'm going to need that for later. So thanks. I just remembered I forgot that, and I can't just go back to my office because it's not there. All right. Well, speaking of glitches and hiccups, there you go. You want to get your outline out of your program so you can follow along with this morning's message. Have you ever wished that God would speak from the sky so that everyone could hear him and tell us who he is and what he wants from us? Well, if you've ever wished that, in this series, we're going to learn about a time when God did exactly that. What did he say? What did he mean? And how is it important for us? Well, welcome to our new series. It's called The Perfect Ten. The Perfect Ten. A series about the Ten Commandments. How many here have heard of the Ten Commandments? Huh? Huh? Wow, yeah, just about all of you. How many have seen the movie? Huh? Read the book? Huh? A few of you have read the book? How many could recite all 10 of the Ten Commandments? Not necessarily in order, give you a little slack there, but how many think you could recite all 10 of the 10? I'm not going to call on you, don't worry. I'm not going to have you come up here, right? Okay, so how many think you could do it? Huh? All right, good number of you. Good deal. All right. Well, how many have kept all of the Ten Commandments perfectly? Aha, all right, there it is, yes. Obeying the Ten Commandments. We'll see how this fits into that. How many wish you could obey all the Ten Commandments perfectly? Oh, good, all right, well, you're in the right place because that's what we're learning about today is how to keep them. You know, I was pleasantly surprised this last week when I read about a recent survey which said, now get this, 90% of Americans, not just Christians, but just the general public, 90% of Americans still regard some of the Ten Commandments as fundamental standards of behavior for our society. I was impressed by that, 90%. That's impressive. And you might say, well, yeah, some of the Ten Commandments. Yeah, which ones, you know? But even the least favorite, what might be the least favorite of the Ten Commandments? Well, according to this survey, it was the one about keeping the Sabbath, all right? The least favorite. Did you know that according to the survey, 49% of Americans still think that that's a very important commandment to keep? 49%. From the founding of our nation, the Ten Commandments have hugely influenced American life and thinking, even the basis of our legal system. As you can see from this frieze on the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C. There's a little cutout there that you can see that there's Moses, and he's got the tablets of the Ten Commandments, because they were very foundational in establishing our whole legal system. In this series, we're going to look at each of the Ten Commandments to discover what they meant in their original context and how they apply to us today as Christ followers. Now, of course, many of us tell us that the Ten Commandments, those are outdated and they have no place in public life, right? In the public schools, they've been declared unconstitutional. Where they were once revered, people used to memorize, the students used to have to memorize the Ten Commandments and you know, expected to keep them and all that and revere them, that sort of thing. Well, now you can't even bring them up. They've been ripped out of public buildings, declared unconstitutional. Even within Christian circles today, many question whether a Christ follower is still obligated to obey the Ten Commandments. Haven't they been fulfilled in Jesus? Hasn't he superseded the law? Christians are no longer under the Ten Commandments. Is that true? And so you may be wondering, do we still need the Ten Commandments? What place do they have in our lives as Christ followers today? That's where we're going to begin with this morning's series. We're going to look at three reasons why we need the Ten Commandments. And you can see them there listed on your outline. And today, it's one of those days where the outline is really going to come in handy because you can keep referencing the Ten Commandments that are printed on there throughout the sermon. Of course, we'll have them up here, but they won't be showing the entire time. Okay, so let's look at the first of the three reasons why we need the Ten Commandments. Number one on your outline, they show God's will for us. They show God's will for us. The only instance when God spoke to all of his people at once, the nation of Israel, in one place, in an audible voice, not through a prophet, not through an angel, not through a written text, but directly, personally, so that everybody could hear him. The only time he did that is when he gave the Ten Commandments. The place was the foot of Mount Sinai. Today, traditionally understood in what we call the Sinai Peninsula. That's south of Israel and east of what we normally call Egypt. Actually, it's a part of Egypt today. And the date of the giving of the Ten Commandments is 1447 B.C. Yes, B.C. Now, some date it later, but we're not going to quibble about that. So what we're doing here, we're talking about well over 1,000 years before Jesus was even born, when these commandments were given, roughly 3,500 years ago. What you're about to see and hear are among the most vital, the most important, influential words ever spoken to anyone at any time. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20. And we've cut out the explanations, which we'll get into later in the series. We're just going to look at the bare bones commandments. Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, it says, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery.' Commandment 1. You shall have no other gods before me. Number 2, you shall not make for yourself an image to worship. Number 3, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Number 4, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work. Number 5, honor your father and your mother. Number 6, you shall not murder. Number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Number 8, you shall not steal. Number 9, you shall not give false testimony. And number 10, you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. That's the word of the Lord, brothers and sisters, the word of God spoken. When God gave these words, spoke these words to the nation of Israel, standing below the slopes of Mount Sinai, there was loud thunder and bright lightning. Thick smoke billowed from the mountain as the entire summit was just engulfed in a raging fire. The people, we're told, trembled violently and were so frightened at the ominous sights and sounds and the awesome audible voice of God that they literally begged Moses to speak to them, him, one-on-one, them, from him, rather than have God speak to them. They did not want to hear the voice of God because it was just too overwhelming. It was too traumatic. It was too frightening. They said, you go and talk to God and have him tell you what he wants, and then you come and report it to us. Why would God subject his people, men, women, and children, to such a harrowing experience? Well, because in a word, he wanted to make a permanent impression on them. Something they would never forget for the rest of their lives. Something that they would tell their children about and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. What they saw, what they heard that day. So that they would dream about it and even have nightmares about it. So that they would think about it and not be able to get it out of their minds, out of their memories for the rest of their lives. Why? Because this was God's will for his people. The other day, a workman uncovered this Greek inscription that I used my finger, or maybe it was a little stick, to carve in the wet cement at our building. And it had been under carpet for all these years that we've been in the building. Doxa inupsistois theo. That's Greek for glory to God in the highest. It's right out of Luke chapter 2, verse 14. And I put that in there because I said, you know, this is what we're all about, is giving glory to God. Whatever happens here, may God get the glory for it. And I wanted to have that inscribed in stone, as it were. And it's there to stay unless the workmen blast it apart and probably just cover it up again. But you see something very, very vaguely similar. I don't want to compare my writing to what God did, but God himself actually chiseled the Ten Commandments onto stone tablets when he gave them to the Israelites, as if to say, these are here forever. These are not 10 suggestions or 10 principles or 10 tips for a nice life. You know, these are commandments from God. These are imperatives for any and all who call him their God. They're not optional. They're commandments. Now, we Americans, even American Christians, we don't like being commanded, do we? We don't like being ordered around. You know, some cultures, they're used to more authoritative structures and government and family and that kind of thing, and they're not quite as allergic to it as we are. But Americans, typically, even American Christians, we just do not like to be told what to do, even if it's the right thing to do. But you'll notice here that God never says please in the Ten Commandments. You know, today, if I want Maya to sit in a different seat, I don't say, Maya, get out of that chair. You know, I'd say, Maya, could you please, if you don't mind, move to a different seat because we have plans for that particular seat. You know, and I have to say it nicely and respectfully, and that's all good and right. That's exactly what I should do. But we don't see God doing that here. The people at the foot of the Mount Sinai, they were not some giant focus group, you know, just kind of testing God's rules out to see, you know, how they might give him some feedback, and this is just the, you know, the first draft, and we'll tweak them a little bit. No, this was it. They were carved in stone. You couldn't say they're not set in stone. They were. All right? It's just my way or the highway. Good grief, you'd think he was God or something. Now, how does this strike you? I don't know about you, but very honestly, I'm not necessarily proud to admit this, but this bothers me at times. Sometimes a lot, because I like to be in charge of my own life, and I don't particularly like being ordered around to do something. A while ago, I was driving down the road, and I realized I needed to text somebody right away. And so, I wanted to do the right thing. So I pulled off onto a side street off of the main road, pulled over to the side of the road, and parked. And I was texting. And while I was texting, lo and behold, I hear this knocking on my windshield. I look up and there's this guy who looked kind of angry. And he says, get your car off of my grass. And I thought, what's he talking about? And I realized, okay, this street doesn't have a curb, a cement curb. It's like our street is like that. There's no curb there. And often people, when they park on the side of a street like that, they might get a little bit of their tire on the grass. And that is apparently what I did. I didn't realize it. It wasn't deliberate. And when he said that, I said, oh, I'm sorry. And I moved right away. But I have to admit, I was kind of taken aback by that. I thought, good grief. I mean, just a few stinking blades of his grass, for crying out loud. Does he have to have a fit over that, you know, and have to talk to me that way? Who does this guy think he is? Even though he had every right to do it, it was his grass. All right? And so you realize from things like that, I don't like to be ordered around even when it's the right thing to do. On the other hand, think about it. If anyone has the right to order us to do something, to behave or not behave in a certain way, it would be God, right? I mean, after all, he is God. He's the creator. He's infinitely wise and good. Actually, folks, and this is very important, if there is no God, there can be no universally binding rules, no right or wrong. No absolute moral values at all, really, because there's no third party. There's just your opinion versus my opinion versus his opinion versus Hitler's opinion versus Stalin's opinion versus, you know, all these different opinions, and who's to say that one should be elevated above the other, even if it's the majority? What about the minority? You know, I mean, who are we to tell each other what to do on absolute kinds of things? And so you can't have any absolute moral values unless you have an absolute moral giver who's a third party, as it were. And so while I might not like it, I should be very glad that God is telling me how to live. It shows that he loves me. Brothers and sisters, the Ten Commandments are God's will for us. Let's accept it. Let's deal with it. And let's get on with obeying them. Let's do what it says. All right, let's look at the second reason why we need the Ten Commandments. Number two, they point us to Jesus. They point us to Jesus. Now, you might be thinking, wait a minute, Randy, wait a minute, hold the phone. I've read the Bible. Aren't the Ten Commandments part of the Mosaic Law? The Mosaic Law? Answer, yes, indeed, they are. In fact, the Ten Commandments introduce the basic foundation of the Law of Moses. And you say, well, that's exactly what my point. I mean, that was the law that was given to Israel as part of the Mosaic covenant, and now that's been fulfilled in Jesus, and so since it's fulfilled in Jesus, we are no longer obligated to follow the Mosaic law. Isn't that right? Well, strictly speaking, yes. That's correct. Well, then, you say, how can you tell me that the Ten Commandments are God's will? God's will for my life, for Christ followers. So glad you asked. Because Jesus himself speaks to this issue in a very important passage in Matthew chapter 5. And it's on your outline, and we're going to look at it up here. And I'd ask that you help me out and read along with me when we come to the yellow print. These are the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's look at them. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." Help me. "I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Verse 18, "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Did you get that? Jesus came not to abolish, but to fulfill the entire Old Testament law and prophets. Now, in Jesus' day, if you said the law and the prophets, that was simply a way of referring to what we today call the Old Testament scriptures. They didn't call it the Old Testament. Of course not. There was no New Testament. They just called it the scriptures, and often they would refer to it as the law. Sometimes they would just call it the law, the whole thing, the law. Other times, the law and the prophets. And so Jesus here says that he didn't come to abolish the Old Testament, which of course would include the Ten Commandments, but he came to fulfill them. You say, well, what does that mean? He came to fulfill them. Do I still have to keep them or not? Well, whatever Jesus means by fulfill them, he cannot be saying they're no longer for us. That we can just toss the Ten Commandments aside, and the Old Testament for that matter. Notice in verse 19, Jesus says, maybe we could put that slide back up there, verse 19. He says that if you set aside even the least of the commands of the Old Testament, and folks, the Ten Commandments were not the least of the commands. They were considered the major commands of the Old Testament. But even if you set aside the least of the commands, you're going to be called least in the kingdom, says Jesus. In other words, you're squat, buddy. You set aside the Old Testament, you're squat. That's Jesus. That's my paraphrase, but that's what Jesus is saying here. Okay, then, you say, well, then what does he mean by fulfill the law? Well, the key is that Greek word fulfill. It's the word pleroo in Greek. It means to fill up. Very simply, how does Jesus fill up the Old Testament law? In this case, today we're talking about the Ten Commandments. And how does it affect the way I'm supposed to obey them? Well, you've been wondering, what's this milk carton for? I'm going to show you. Let me use this as an analogy. Let's say that this milk carton is filled up with, of all things, milk. Right now it's empty, but let's pretend that it's filled up. And let's say I go to the store to buy it. And when I look at the various brands, the various different kinds of milk that are on the shelf in the refrigerator, this carton tells me what sort of milk it's filled up with. It tells me, for example, what color it is. I can see that it's white. It's not chocolate milk. It says it's original. It's plain. It tells me what kind of milk it is. This is almond milk. It's not cow's milk. So if I want cow's milk, I choose a different carton. All right. I use almond milk. I'm a diabetic, so that's kind of important for me. It tells me how many calories are in it, how much trans fat. Actually, there's zero. Cholesterol, carbs, dietary fiber, sugars, and protein, and so forth. Everything I want to know about this kind of milk is told to me on this carton. And so the milk fills it up, but the carton tells me what's inside. It also tells me the purpose of it. It tells me how many servings. How many servings? In other words, how many people can have a cup of milk? And it tells me that it's delicious, right? It's unsweetened, and yet it's delicious. So it tells me the purpose of the Ten Commandments. Okay, in short, the carton tells me all about the milk. It points to what's inside. But of course, it is not the milk itself. It's just the container. And really, when I shop for milk, I'm not going there to buy a carton. But the carton is still important. I want what's inside of the carton, but the carton is still necessary, isn't it? Because without the carton, how would I even take it into my cart and bring it up to the checkout counter and purchase it and bring it home? The carton is necessary. I wouldn't know what kind of milk is inside. I wouldn't know what I'm bringing home. This carton is like the Old Testament. And for our purposes today, like the Ten Commandments. And Jesus is like the milk that fills it up. From the Old Testament, we find out what God is like. We find out that he's the creator of all things. We find out about his holiness, his justice. We find out about his infinite power and knowledge and wisdom and his amazing grace and his love. We see these things illustrated in the stories of the Old Testament. And we also see it in the laws, because the laws show us what God likes and what he doesn't like. They show us what God approves of and what he disapproves of. Now, Jesus is God in human flesh. And so the whole Old Testament, including the Ten Commandments, point to what he's like. It's like the milk in the carton tells us all about the milk and gives us a context for understanding the milk. The Old Testament shows us in stories and laws and rituals and sacrifices and poetry and prophecies. The Old Testament shows us what the one true God is like. And when Jesus comes, he fills up that description. He fulfills the purpose of the law, just as the milk fulfills the purpose of the container, right? And really justifies its existence. In fact, we could say that without Jesus, the Old Testament would be empty. It would be empty because it contains everything except what's supposed to fill it, right? Now, this is hugely important for understanding the Bible. The Old Testament, all the stories, all the laws, all the rituals, all the sacrifices and so forth, the poetry, prophecy, reveals to us what God is like. It reveals to us mankind's problem, the rebellion against him. The Bible calls that sin, reveals all that. And it shows how God intends to rescue us from that problem. Now, when Jesus shows up, he embodies, he fills up everything the Old Testament pointed to. He is the reality. He is the substance to which it pointed. Coming to know Jesus is like drinking the milk. Drinking the milk. Not drinking the Kool-Aid, but drinking the milk. What you read about in the Old Testament, on the carton, as it were, you are now experiencing personally, in a real person. You are now being nourished and strengthened and encouraged by him. Now, you say, well, does this mean that the Old Testament is now obsolete, now that we have Jesus? Well, it's true that the Old Testament is no substitute for Jesus. No way. Just as the carton without the milk would be pointless. But the Old Testament is still indispensable, brothers and sisters. If you neglect the Old Testament, you're really neglecting so much vital, accurate, essential information about God and about salvation history that we need to understand. We needed to understand God. We needed to understand ourselves, how we were created, what we were created for, and we needed to understand Jesus. If I want to drink this milk, but I have a gluten allergy, and I'm wondering, well, is this going to upset my allergy? Well, I read on here that it's gluten-free, and I know, okay, the milk okay in here is okay for me with my gluten allergy. Well, this is why it's so important for you as a Christ follower to read the Old Testament, to study the Old Testament. It's indispensable, as well as the New Testament, of course. If you neglect the Old Testament, it's sort of like coming into a movie 75% finished. You know, you're walking in and there's only, you know, a quarter of it left. You've missed so much. You've missed what the plot is about, the characters, how they've developed up to that point, and the whole context of the story. If you only read the New Testament, you have a skewed view of God and yourself. Many Christians avoid the Old Testament because, very frankly, it takes some work to understand it. But hang in there. It's worth it. Make the effort. Let me give you a few suggestions here for getting to know the Old Testament. First of all, get into a daily Bible reading program. Get into the habit of reading the Bible every day, even if it's just a chapter a day. You can go to the YouVersion app and get any translation. It'll even read it to you if you want. And you play around with it a little bit, you can learn out how that's done. But they also have Bible reading programs that'll take you through the Bible in a year if that's what you want, and other kinds of programs with devotionals and that kind of thing. Or you can go online and get what's called a one-year Bible. That can be very helpful. But the main thing is to get into the Bible every day. Secondly, join a small group Bible study here at Stony Creek Church. This is where we meet together in homes to study the Bible together and in a relaxed atmosphere where people can ask questions and share prayer requests and fellowship together. And that's a really good thing in addition to learning the Word. You know, and if you're interested in getting into a small group, you can go onto our stonycreekchurch.org website and look up ministries there, and you'll get it'll take you to a place where it tells you what all the different small groups that we offer, and that's very, very helpful. A third thing that you can do is come out to our 9:30 teaching time. In fact, right now we're going through the Old Testament book of Judges. And that's right across, while we're mobile, right across the hallway there in the media center. And that's where we dig into the Word. We have chance for Q&A and that kind of thing. And it's a great way of digging into the Word. But remember, think about this not in terms of just getting to know a book. This is getting to know a person. The most fascinating person of all, in all of existence. You say, okay, the whole Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus, but what does that mean for me when it comes to actually obeying each of these commandments? What does that look like? Well, really, we're going to see that throughout the whole series, but let me just boil it down to you in an introductory way in the third reason why we need the Ten Commandments. Number three on your outline, we must obey them the Jesus way. The Jesus way. This was very hard to word, this third point, but hopefully it'll make sense to you as we go through this. What does that mean? Well, once I drink some of the milk in this carton, my relationship to the information on the carton is now changed, isn't it? I mean, it's no longer just the facts printed on some cardboard. It's now an experience. I talk of it not just in terms of ingredients and nutrients. All of that is still true. But now I can tell you how it tastes. You know, whether or not it really is delicious. If it really is refreshing. I could memorize all the contents on this carton. I could become an expert on this carton. But if I have not tasted what's inside, I still haven't experienced the milk. In the same way, when you embrace Jesus as your Lord and Savior, once you've trusted in Him, that He died for you on the cross, that He rose again, that salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. Now you have taken Christ into your life. You're no longer just dealing with facts about a person. You've drunk the milk, as it were. And even though the Old Testament, the carton in our illustration, is the same, your relationship to that information has forever changed. You now obey the Old Testament the Jesus way. And what I mean by that is that everything in the Old Testament, including the Ten Commandments, must be filtered through Jesus. You say, how does that work? Well, let me give you a couple examples here. Take the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. In the New Testament, Jesus steps into the picture and speaks as though he himself is God. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 37. He says, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. Help me out. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. Jesus puts a face on the first commandment. All of a sudden, worshiping God alone is now worshiping and following Jesus. By following Jesus, you obey the first commandment. Let's look at another commandment, the sixth commandment. You shall not murder. Now, if you were with us a few weeks back, when in our series on anger, we talked about Jesus' explanation of this commandment. We found that following this commandment is much deeper than just avoiding the physical act of murdering a person. It includes that, of course. But it also pertains to holding grudges, insulting people, harboring hatred in our hearts. That counts as a violation of this commandment as well. So Jesus shows us the true intent of that law. Not just a physical act, but an inward condition of the heart. But that's not all. Jesus not only tells us the true intention of thou shalt not murder, but he also shows us what we should do instead of being angry, instead of insulting people, instead of murdering people. He tells us the antidote to hatred and murder, and that is love. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, love your enemy instead of hate him and try to take revenge on him. And so Jesus gives us something to do instead of the act of murder, whether it's inward or outward. And then, even better, Jesus shows us what that kind of love looks like by giving his own life for us on the cross, sacrificing himself in place of all of us who are guilty, dying for us. That's the greatest demonstration of love ever. He dies for his enemies. That is true love. But that's not all. Jesus not only shows us the true meaning of don't murder, he not only shows us what to do in its place, and that is love your neighbor and love your enemy, and he not only does that, but he gives us the supreme demonstration of that love by actually giving himself for us, but he even goes the extra mile and gives us the power to love through a transformed life. That's what we've been talking about the last couple Sundays, the new you in Christ, the new transformed you. Jesus is the way to keep this commandment. And even better, to go beyond it, to do the opposite of hating and murdering. Jesus, you might say, is the one-stop shop for obeying the command, you shall not murder. It's all in Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Is this making sense? You with me? Okay, cool. Brothers and sisters, as we go through each of the Ten Commandments, one by one, we're going to examine them in their context, what they meant originally to those people who got them, and how it's to be obeyed the Jesus way. That's what this series is all about. And what's so neat about all this is that it's not just about following a bunch of rules. It's about getting into a relationship with Jesus. It's not about rules, it's about a relationship. Yes, we need to keep the rules, that's important, but it's because we've come to know a person. That's the motivation, that's the power to keep the rules. We've come to taste the milk in the carton. So this leads us to our main idea. The one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else I say today, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you'll want to write it down. It goes like this. Your need to obey God's Ten Commandments is met in Jesus. In Jesus. I encourage you to make every one of the messages in this series a priority. Do your very best to be here. Remember, these commandments are God's will for all of his people. These are not just suggestions. This is what God wants for you. But when you can come knowing that this is not just about learning some rules, but about deepening your relationship with Jesus, because all of the commandments point to him. If you're not a Christ follower, if you're sitting here today and you're saying, I can't relate to that relationship you're talking about, don't bother trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Don't say, well, I need to keep these commands so I can please God. You will fail. The standard is too high. You will not measure up, just like none of the rest of us measures up. You may be very sincere or devout or religious, but without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's a lost cause. Those Ten Commandments are kind of like a mirror that shows you your face is dirty. but doesn't give you anything to wash it with. The commandments show us the standard. The place to start is not with the commandments themselves, but with where they start. And they start with Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, with Jesus. Well, I know these chairs are so comfortable that you want to just keep sitting on them, all right? You want to take them back to our building, right? Right? Huh? Well, why don't you stand? And we're going to close our service here in just a moment. Service is just about to end. We're going to have a word of prayer now. And if God is speaking to you today and you sense you need somebody to pray with you or to help you, to give you some spiritual counsel, we have our pastoral prayer team. They'll be down right here in front. Maybe you've got an illness or some need in your life that you could use some prayer for. Or maybe you say, I would like to become a Christ follower today. I want that relationship today. Come on down and talk with these folks up here. They'd be more than happy to help you. All right? Well, let's pray and then we'll dismiss our service. Father in heaven, thank you so much for bringing us here. We thank you for giving us a roof over our head, even though it's just this temporary place. But more importantly, help us to learn what you have for us here today, this study on the Ten Commandments. Thank you so much for Jesus, who shows us who you are, puts a face on you, and demonstrates for us what it means to obey your laws and have a relationship with you through faith in the one who died for us and rose from the dead. May this be an encouragement to us to get to know him better, or perhaps for some, to know him today for the first time. Oh Lord, we give ourselves to you today afresh. Use us. Bless us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.